Well, good evening, church. You get me again, so hopefully that's okay with you. But I pray that this message tonight is uplifting and encouraging. I hope you really feel encouraged by the word tonight. But man, the Lord does some amazing things. Listen to this psalm. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." Amen, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we ought to rejoice because we have really no reason to not rejoice. Listen to the song that we just sang. His grace is so amazing and so much more. Our chains are now gone. Amen. We're free. He's paid our ransom. This is amazing. Your debt has been cleared in the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to rejoice because the Lord is doing some mighty things. Not little things, not little bitty things, but mighty things. Why? Because He's the mighty Lord. He's the Lord Almighty. Amen? Amen. But see, I think there are times in life that life gets busy. Life gets busy. Does this sound familiar? Work. Work, work, problem, 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 work, 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 problem, problem, problem. And then when it seems like that is all of your life, it seems like we begin to miss the things of God. We forget to take a moment and remember all that the Lord has done for you and done for the church where you serve and done in the people around you in their lives. But let me ask you a question. Again, I will pray that this is an encouraging message for you tonight. Has it been a while since you've celebrated what the Lord has done? We ought to celebrate what the Lord has done because He does so many mighty things. We're going to be in two places tonight. First place is Psalms 150. Turn to Psalms 150. Let me pray for us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray tonight that You fill this place with joy. Lord, this place ought to be a house of prayer, but it ought to be a house of praise. And Lord, there's no one more worthy than You tonight. Lord, I thank You for working in our lives every day, fighting our battles. I thank You for being God of our life. And Lord, I pray that Your presence is made known tonight, that You uplift our spirits, that we are encouraged tonight, that we realize who the God of our life is. It's the living God. It's the Lord Almighty. It's Yahweh. It's Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 150, beautiful, beautiful verse. Let me read it just for us. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tremble. Praise Him with the tremble and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Amen, church? Praise the Lord. What amazing verse. In verse 1, it's so powerful. It just starts out with something so basic, but so powerful. It says, "Praise the Lord." Why? Because He deserves our praise. Amen? This psalm is so amazing because it's almost like the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord." And it's almost like a guy is asking a question. Listen to this. What's he say? What's this guy saying? He's saying, "Where should we praise Him? Where should we praise the Lord?" And what does verse 1 say? It says, "Praise God in His sanctuary." Isn't that amazing? If there's one place that God should deserve praise, it ought to be the house of God. But sometimes it seems like that's where He's praised least, is in the house of God. The people of God ought to praise Him. Amen? New Life needs to praise God because He's done so many amazing things for this church. We are blessed by God every day. We have no reason not to shout praises to the Lord God. I hope you feel the same way, church, but this is so amazing to me. We ought not to just praise Him here. What else does it say? Praise Him in His mighty heavens. If you don't know where to praise Him, if you're not at church, you ought to praise Him everywhere. This is what the psalmist is saying. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. That's not just heaven in His throne. That's everywhere. That's the heaven we're talking about. He's talking about the universe. Praise Him in the universe. Praise Him everywhere. We ought to praise Him everywhere. He doesn't just deserve praise here at church. He deserves our praise at home. He deserves our praise at work. He deserves our praise when we go out to eat. He deserves our praise when we go to the park. He deserves our praise when we go on vacation. Let me tell you, you ought to never stop praising the Lord. And it's like this guy says, well, if this is where we ought to praise Him, why should we praise Him? In verse 2 it says, "Praise Him for His acts of power." If you you need to know why to praise God. Praise Him for His almighty works. Praise Him for the almighty things He has done. Think about all the things He has done in your life. Has He not given you victory in your life? Think about the battles you faced in life. Has He not given you victory over those battles? He's done so many amazing things. And if you're here tonight and say, I don't know what the Lord has done. Well, if you're a believer in Christ, He's taken you from death and given you life. Amen. God has done so much for you. He's forgiven your sins. He's cast them as far as the east is from the west. You serve a loving God and a giving God, a forgiving God, a God of grace and a God of mercy. He abounds in all those things. He has done so much for us, but He's also done so much for New Life. He's done so much for this church. And I went back and I looked and said, Lord, what have you done? And I looked and I said, in 2021, I know that's far. I know that's going far back. We've had 49 baptisms in this church since 2021. That's pretty amazing, amen? To have 49 baptisms, and where are we at in 2024? We're at 17, and I believe we got two coming up. Praise the Lord, amen? We have 17 baptisms this year. We've had many people join the church, and I know you're thinking, how is that even possible with two fills here? I know that's tough. I know we scare some people away sometimes, but people are still joining the church. Families are joining the church. Single people are joining the church. They're seeing what God is doing and they say, I want to be a part of it. Because I can promise you, it's not what we're doing. It's not what we're doing. It's what He's doing. Amen, church? And I went back to 2021. You know what our average attendance on Sunday was? 68. Do you know what our average attendance is today? 110. The Lord is doing some mighty things, and those are just numbers. I can't even imagine what He's doing in your life. I can't even imagine what He's molding you into His Son, Jesus Christ, when you let Him. That's even more important, but praise the Lord that He's even bringing people into the house of God. That's just the church. That's just the church. That's not even the ministries. He's doing so much in the ministries. I can't even list all the things, and I don't want you to ever forget. We got a house for $50, church. How does someone get a house for $50? It only comes from the hand of God. I looked back last year. We served 18,000 meals at the meal ministry between lunches and dinners. I promise you, we can't do that on our own. That's the Lord working every single day. And there's many times our back has been up against the wall and we don't know where the finances are going to come in. We don't know how we're going to pay the bills. We don't know how we're going to pay the electric bill. But every time the Lord has come through, we're still open. But we really shouldn't be. You know why I'm saying that? Because we really should not be open. But praise the Lord for His acts of power. Praise the Lord for His acts of power. And if you're here tonight and you're saying, well, I don't see a whole lot going on, I say, well, just look around for a moment. You might actually see the hand of God. You might actually see the hand of God. But even if God didn't do any of those things, even if we didn't see those things, what's He also say in verse 2? Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. God deserves our praise whether He works in our life or not. Why? Because He's the God who is holy. He's the God who is righteous. He's the God whose justice abounds. Amen, church? Whose justice abounds. He's a God of mercy and a God of justice, a God of righteousness. He's a God who is holy. He's a God who's patient, who is slow to anger, who is compassionate, who loves us unconditionally, who's given us a grace that doesn't make any sense. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness, church. We don't deserve to be used. But we serve the living God who's great. There's probably really not a word really to describe Him in our English language. All we can really say is He is great. He is great. And it's as this guy is saying to the psalmist, we know where we should pray Him. We know why we should pray Him. But what do we praise Him with? And then the psalmist says, praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tremble and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. This tells me we ought to use everything we have to praise the Lord. Everything we have we ought to use to give glory and honor to God. We should praise God loud and proud. Amen, church? Does He not deserve to be shouted from the rooftops? Does He not deserve for his name to be glorified among all men and women. I love what it says in verse 5. Praise him with the clash of cymbals and praise him with the resounding cymbals. That's loud. That's loud. But why do we praise him so quietly? Why do we whisper his praises when his praises deserve to be shouted from the rooftop? See, the world needs to hear what God is doing. The world has to hear what God is doing. Why? Why is that so important? Because I can promise you that there are people in your life that sit next to you wherever it may be, and they're wondering, I'm going through all these things in my life. I don't know where I put my hope. I don't know where my hope comes from. I don't know how I'm going to get through these things. I don't know where to put my trust. And you should ought to praise the Lord and say, put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For there's no one better to put your hope in. There's no one better to put your trust in. Those are the shouts of God's people. Those are the shouts of God's people. And it's as this man is saying to the psalmist, well, we know where we should praise him. We know why we should praise him. We know what we should praise him with. But who should praise him? Verse 6, so simple, but yet so powerful. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that not amazing? Who should praise the Lord God? Everything that has breath. Why? Remember what I talked about on Sunday? Who's given you breath? The Lord Almighty. Who's given you life? The Lord Almighty has. Everyone that has breath this evening ought to praise the Lord with all of their heart. Why? Because God has given you life. And if you have Christ, he's given you life more abundantly. Church, don't ever take that for granted. Because you didn't deserve to have that. I didn't deserve to have that. But God, so rich in his grace, so rich in his mercy, gave Christ for you and I so that we may have life more abundantly. I love the way he ends this psalm, just the way as he began it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. We got to praise the Lord more. We've got to lift up his name more. We've got to shout it from the rooftops more. We've got to give him praise even more. Even more. Even more. Amen, church. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 15. I said we got two passages. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And I tell you that in the same way that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. In verse 8 it says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God cares for the lost, amen? He cares for the lost. He cares for the lost. But what's even more amazing that I think is that he rejoices over it. He rejoices over it. And I think that we forget this time, sometimes, is that God rejoices over the lost. God celebrates over those that are lost and that are now found. God rejoices, and I'll pray, and I hope in your heart, I know there's probably moments you haven't, because I've been there too, where we don't rejoice when the lost are found. But we ought to. We ought to rejoice when the lost are found. Amen? Amen. We've got to celebrate when people come to Christ. We've got to celebrate when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we knew where they were going, and we know where we were going. But Christ completely changed their destination and gave them life. And gave them life. In Zephaniah 3:17 it says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. That's what the Lord does when you come to Christ. When you are lost and you come to Christ, he rejoices. He rejoices. And if God rejoices for the lost, then we ought to too. The question, are you? Are you? I can imagine God being displeased with a people that don't get excited for the lost coming to Christ. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing that heaven rejoices. That's what I see with those verses. It's almost as sometimes God saying, if you're not going to do it, then I'll do it. If you are not going to rejoice, the angels will rejoice. But if they rejoice, we ought to rejoice. But here's what I also get. Now listen to me closely, church. Not only should we rejoice, but we should rejoice with each other. This is what every part of both of these parables say. It says, he and she called her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin, or I have found my lost sheep. We've got to rejoice together. This is what the Bible says. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We've got to rejoice together because the people of God who rejoice together, that is powerful. That is powerful when the people of God rejoice together, when give praises to God. Are you? Are you rejoicing? Are you praising the Lord when the lost are found? I can't answer that for you. You know here. I've been there. Life gets busy. Over and over and over again. Can I promise you that when someone comes to Christ or someone gets baptized, that shouldn't feel like a routine thing. It shouldn't feel like, that's just somebody doing something. No, they just did the greatest thing anyone could ever do. It's better than getting a job. It's better than getting a house. It's better than having a family. And those are great and wonderful and amazing things. But they're not greater than coming to Christ. They'll never be greater than coming to Christ. Verse 17 says, there's this son, and he's like, Dad, I want all my money. And he hits town. He blows it all. He doesn't just blow it all. He blows it all on bad things, all on sinful things. And in verse 17, he says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. See, the father rejoiced even when it didn't make sense. Even when it didn't make sense. It would have made sense for the father to say, no, get lost, you just want money. You're just coming back because you lost all your money. But that's not what the father does. What does he do? He runs after him and he throws his arms around him and he kissed him. And why? Because he loved him. He cared for him. He wanted him back. And that's the same thing that God does with us. Amen, church? God shows us compassion even when it doesn't make sense. And he calls us, listen to me, church, to show compassion and to celebrate even when it doesn't make sense to the world. When a lost would come and they would be found again. The world says that. Just doing it for a show. Just doing it for a show. And they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. See, it is so important to celebrate in the Christian life. But I think we do it maybe one of the least things. Really. Throughout the Bible, you see this all the time. celebrations. There's festivals for all different types of things. They celebrated. They celebrated. It's so important. And number one, why is it important to celebrate in the Christian life? Number one, it helps us remember the things God has done. Why should we celebrate? To remember all that God has done in our life. And not just what He's done, but what He's doing. A celebration, when we come together, it's a moment for us to reflect on what God has done and what He's going to keep doing. That's why they celebrate. That's why we should celebrate. And number two, it refuels our joy in life. When we come together as brothers and sisters and we celebrate what the Lord is doing, it refuels our joy in life. Because I promise you, I've been there. Life can drain you. Problem after problem, work after work, life after life can drain you over and over again. But when we come together and we celebrate the Lord, when we praise the Lord, when we rejoice with what the Lord is doing, it refills our joy in our life. It refills our joy in our life. But number three, it builds us up and we become stronger as a church. Church, I want to be strong. I want to be strong. But if we're not going to be a church that celebrates, I promise we're going to struggle being strong. We're going to struggle being united. We're going to struggle to build each other up. We're going to struggle encouraging. If we don't take a moment and remember all the things God has done in our life, we'll struggle. But number four, listen to it very closely. It shows genuine gratitude for the Lord. When we celebrate, when we praise the Lord, it shows genuine gratitude to the Lord. Church, you don't have anything to give God. You don't. I don't have anything to give God. I don't got enough money to give Him. I don't have enough time to give Him. I don't have enough to give God what He's given to me. All I have is praise. All you have is praise. All you have is celebration for what the Lord has done in your life. Give it. Give it so willingly. Give it so freely. Give it until you're tired of giving it. That's how much you should praise. That's how much you should celebrate in this life for what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. So why do we struggle with celebrating? Why do we struggle with celebrating? Verse 25, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him. And then in verse 31 it says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What stops us from celebrating? Number one is we feel like we're too busy. We feel like we're so busy. Here it says in verse 25, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He is just going about doing his daily thing, going about in the fields, tending the fields, and he just keeps going and going and going. And when you keep going and going and going and you don't take a moment, you're going to miss the things of God. This is why we ought to take moments in the church to remember what the Lord has done. I'm so thankful, at least at the beginning of the year, that at least we have a recap of what the Lord's done. But God deserves our celebration and our praise much more than one time a year. Amen, church? He deserves it way more than that. Because I promise you, He's not doing one thing. He's not doing two things. He continually works in your life. Continually works in your life. Busyness holds us back from taking time to stop and think what the Lord's done. And number two, what did the brother really do? He gets jealous. Jealousy will hold you back from celebrating. See, we won't admit it, and I won't tell you to admit it. But there's times, I think, there's times where we might celebrate, and you feel in your heart that, man, nobody did that for me. Man, I had one clap. This person, they got several when they got baptized. Again, you might not want to admit it, but you're thinking it. Man, I got a new job. Nobody said nice job to me. I got a brand new car. Nobody said nice car to me. Jealousy will hold you back from praising God. It'll make you angry about your brothers and sisters. It'll also make you angry at the Father of heaven. That's exactly what this older brother did. He got jealous. No one got excited for me. I've been doing this Christian life for a while. No one got excited for me. Again, I'll say, our attitude should never be, look what I've done. If you start thinking that, church, you'll fall into the same trap as this older brother. It'll hold you back in your Christian walk. It'll hold you back. And number three is, I think a lot of times we don't see the value in what God is actually doing. 18,000 meals, is that really a big deal? We've done it before. 17 baptisms, yeah, that's a lot, but is it really a big deal? Sometimes we think that way. Sometimes we do. Is it really a big deal what he's doing with the ministries? That's over there. We're over here. Sometimes I think we forget that the value of what God is doing, and then we begin to lose our joy of our salvation. When's the last time you've even remembered that God has saved your life? When's the last time you've remembered the joy of your salvation? When God plucked you from the pit of hell, from taking you from destruction and giving you everlasting life. I promise you, if you begin to think that every single day, you begin to have a better attitude in the house of God. You begin to get excited when it happens to somebody else. When somebody gets baptized, you remember, Lord, thank you for baptizing me, and praise the Lord that you're baptized. Praise the Lord that you're baptized. And so many different things. That's just scratching the surface of what the Lord's doing. Just scratching the surface. And number four, I'm going to sum it all up in one point. What stops us from celebrating? Us. If you're here tonight, you say, man, I just can't celebrate. I just can't be joyful. That's your own fault. I've been there in my life. I know how it feels. It doesn't feel very good. You don't like yourself when you're in those moments. I've been there. But I also know that it's my own fault for being there. God's given me everything. Everything to rejoice in. Everything to celebrate in. If I would just remember those things rather than focusing on the temporary things. That's the problem, church. We focus so much on the temporary things rather than the eternal things. That's why the Bible so often tells us to focus on the eternal things rather than the temporary things. Because it helps us in our life. So I want to encourage you this evening. I want to encourage you more and more every single day. If it's possible to encourage you, that God is still in the saving business. That's what I see from all this. That God is still in the saving business. And that is worth celebrating. Amen, church? God is in the saving business, and that is worth celebrating. We were dead, and now we're alive. We were lost, and now we are found. And that is worth celebrating, church. Amen? That is worth celebrating. And that's a theme throughout the whole Bible. The whole Bible. I want to give you three things. Exodus 15, 20 through 21, they're at the Red Sea, and God opens the Red Sea, and they walk on dry ground, and the waters come crushing the Egyptians who are about to kill them. And then it says in verse 20, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took the trimble in her hand, and all the women followed her with trimbles and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. And then we see the story of Nehemiah. The wall is crushed. They're vulnerable. Nehemiah weeps. weeps over it. He's distraught about it. All those things. And they finally get a chance to build the wall. And they build it impossible. They should have never been able to build this wall with the people that they had. And Nehemiah 12:43 says, on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God has given them great joy. And the women and the children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. See, here we even see with Nehemiah and the walls built. They rejoice. They celebrate. But also, I want to tell you something in the future. Revelations 19:6 says, then I heard, John says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. If you have trouble celebrating here, I can promise you, you'll celebrate in heaven. You'll celebrate with the Lord. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let me tell you something, church. God is preparing for us today a chance to celebrate. Why? Because we're going to be celebrating in heaven. We're going to be celebrating in heaven. Feast, the wedding banquet. You get to be a part of if you're in Jesus Christ. Oh, wow, you'll have a time of celebration that will be like no other. Like no other. Like no other. God is preparing you right now. Don't take that for granted, church. Celebrate now what the Lord is doing, because you're going to celebrate in heaven for what the Lord has done on all the earth. Church, I think there are times we struggle with something that should be so simple, like celebrating. Church, I don't think we get excited enough. I'm just being honest. I'm there with you. I'm part of New Life too. I don't think we get excited enough about what the Lord is doing. And I'm not saying God is moving so many different places, not just here. But if there's one church that should see God moving, it ought to be this one. It ought to be us. It ought to be us. I don't think we get excited for God moving in our own life and in this church. He's worth celebrating. The world got to hear it. If it doesn't start in the sanctuary of God, in the church, is anyone praising? Church, we got to praise more. We got to celebrate more. Not just here, but you got to do it in your own life. Your friends and family, they got to know who you serve. You know the easiest way for them to know? Who you give thanks to. Who you praise. Who you trust in. They'll know, and sometimes you don't have to say a thing. Because they see where you put your hope. And they see where you put your trust. And they say, I don't have that. I want what they got. Because they got something that really does change. They've got something that really does change. That's Jesus. Amen, church? That's Jesus. So let me ask you again. Has it been a while since you celebrated? Let's stand, church.